Monday the 15th of December, Yudches Kislev, Rabbi Avraham Weininger, in Yone Parshas Vayeshev.
Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz, Mikuri Ovev Beretz Kanoan. The Parsha starts with the Pasuk that Yaakov Avinu settles the Eretz Mikuri Ovev. Really, the Parsha could have started, Eda told us Yaakov Yosef. We're starting now to talk about the generations of Yaakov Avinu building up. Why does the Torah start off with Vayesh of Yaakov, Yaakov settled? And Rashi answers this with the famous Medrash, Rav Acha, Vayesh of Yaakov, Hapishtoni Hazeh, Nichnesu Gamalov to Inim Pishtim. The flax merchant brought his camels into the town, into the streets of the city, laden with flax. Hapechomi Tomah, there was a blacksmith who had his anvil, who had his fire, and who was worried, who was aghast. Ami Yikonis Kalapish to Nazareth. Where? How come we're bringing all this flax? Hoyitkech Echod Meshivloi. A wise man calmed him down and replied, Nitzut Echod Yaitzimim Bapuch Shalacha. One spark can come out of your bellows, Shesoref Eskuloi, and burn the entire load of flax. The very end of Parsha Vayishlach, we see the Alufei Edoim, the chieftains, the generals, the whole army of Edoim, of Esau, a powerful and invincible army. And he said, who can conquer such a mighty army? How can we survive the Golus? Markasiv Lamata, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. The Pasuk tells us, these are the generations of Yaakov, Yosef, V'chsiv Oya, Beis Yaakov, Eish, Beis Yosef V'lehova, Beis Yosef V'lekash, the words from the last week's Haftorah. The house of Yaakov is fire. Beis Yosef, the house of Yosef, is the flame, and Beis Yosef V'lekash is the stubble. Nitzot Yosef, Yosef, one spark will come out of Yosef, Shemachala, the Sotas Kulam, which will consume and burn the entire army and the entire horde of Esau HaRosha. To understand this moshul of the Pechomi, one worrying the train of camels was coming through, you have to understand we're talking about a small village with narrow streets, and he's got his wearing all his gear in the street, and he sees in the distance a camel train, and flax is very light, and the camels carry the flax, and it billows over onto the sides, and it's coming to this narrow street, and it looks like it's going to bowl him over, it's going to destroy him. And so he worries, until the Bekechaka said, what are you worried about? Do you think there's anything really there? One small spark that will come out of your bellows will destroy it all. Why is Esau compared to Kash, to stubble? Esau was a mighty army, an army that could conquer any land. And also, why does it say Beis Yaakov, Beis Yosef Lahava? What has Yaakov in you got to do with it? The prophet could have just said Beis Yosef Lahava or Beis Esav Lakash, and it shall be, we line in the last week's Haftorah, V'hoya Beis Yosef Lahava. That's what the Navi could have said. Beis Yosef should be the flame. Beis Esav Lakash. Beis Esav should be the stubble. The dolk of Ahem V'acholim. The flame destroys and consumes it all. Why do we need to mention Beis Yaakov La'esh? We know Rashi brings down earlier in Parshas Toldos, in Parshas Vayetze, when we talk about the birth of the children. And the Parsha tells us that when Yosef was born, Yaakov feels safe now to leave Esau. When he has the birth of his beloved son Yosef, he knows he can now have the antidote, he can overcome the hordes of Esau. Yosef is the antidote, is the one that can nullify Esau HaRosha. Why is that so? What midah does Yosef have that can overcome the wicked Esau? If you have a look into this parsha this week, perhaps we will see a clue to the greatness of Yosef. Yosef tells the dreams, and he incurs the wrath of his brothers. Vayisnu osai, vayisiva oitanai osai, vayisiva oitanai osai, vaykanabai echav. Time and again, he incurs the wrath of his brothers. His brothers hate him because he doesn't realize how much he's angering them, and he tells over his dreams. And his brothers leave. The prophet tells us that the brothers take leave of their father. Yehoshua echav. They go away. Vayomi Yisrael El Yosef. So Yaakov calls his son and he says that Lechov Eshlachach Alem. I wanted to go to them. I wanted to see how they're getting on. Vayomi Lo Hineini. And he says Hineini. Anova's reasons. Father, whatever you ask for me, I'm humbly prepared to obey. Nizdaris and Mitzvahs Oviv. Ava Pisha Yodeh Ve'echav Shoseinim Osai. He was keen to fulfill the command of his father, although he knew his brothers hated him. What does the prophet tell us? That Joseph went on his way, and he went to Shechem, and what did he find in Shechem? Nobody there. And he searched, he crisscrossed the field to try and find his brothers. Vayim Tzeyoish. And as he points out there, Gabriel and Malach Elohim came from Shemayim to tell him. The Rabboni Shalom will only send a malach when a person has done his utmost, when a person has done the maximum he can do. Then Hashem will send a malach to help him. Vayim Tzeyoish, the malach comes after Yosef and has expended all his energy to find his brothers. He doesn't give up. He knows their brothers hate him. He knows he's going to go into danger. But Kivadav is paramount. And the malach tells him where they are. And as he goes towards them, they see him from a distance. They plot to kill him. They shoot arrows at him. They set dogs upon him. They plan to kill him. He knows he's in danger. He can see the danger alive in front of him. And he still continues to go. Because his father has told him so. Hineini, here am I. This is a Yosef who carries with him his father. We see further on, when he lands up in the house of a servant of Potiphar, that Potiphar finds favor in the eyes of Potiphar. And the prophet tells us that Vahi Hashem es Yosef, Vahi Ish Matzliach, that Potiphar sets him as the governor of his house, of the mansion, of the palace of Potiphar. Vahi Ish Matzliach, and he was successful. The prophet tells us that his master saw that HaKadosh was with him. How do you see spirituality in the Tumas Mitzrayim? And Rashi says, Ki Hashem Itay, Shem Shemayim Shogav Afiv. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fluent in his mouth. Thank God, he would say when he was succeeded. Baruch Hashem, Bezos Hashem. He carried with him the heavenly name of Hashem, even in Tumas Mitzrayim. Where did he learn this from? When the Archimene came to seize the brokers under the nose of Esau, and Yitzchok said to him, how comes he come so quickly, my son? The Archimene knew he was speaking as an Esau. He knew that not once had Esau mentioned the Shem Shemayim in all the conversations that he recalled of Esau and Yaakov Avinu. Not once do we find Esau mentioning Shem Hashem. And nevertheless, Yaakov says, "Kihik Hashem lekecha lefanoi." He says, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me." Why does he give the game away? Why is he saying, "I'm not Esau"? Because Shem Shemayim Shogav Afiv. Because he lived, he breathed with the Ribono Shel Olam inside him. And Yosef took that mitzvah with him. Yosef, a true son of his father, and in the depths of Tumas Mitzrayim, that Aviyah Adonai Ki Hashem Itay Shem Shemayim Shogav Afiv. We see further on another example of Yosef carrying his father with him. We see that later on in the parasha, when eventually he is worn down, his resistance is cracked by the temptation of Esau's Potiphar. It's too much for him, it's proving too great to overcome. And the prophet says, he comes in, and Rashi points out, according to one Bashav, he comes in to consort with her, to sin with Esau's Potiphar. There's nobody else there. And the prophet tells us But to say the victor, she grabbed hold of him, and he managed miraculously to regain his strength, and he desisted and he fled. Says Rashi, it wasn't so simple. Chad Omer, one opinion says, Lassus Rochavimo, Elishaniras Lodamusti Yukna Shalovid. He saw the image of his father. Why now, when he's engaged in Chet, that he suddenly had the picture of his father coming to him as the last place where his father had wanted his son to see him? But we have to understand that Yaakov Avin, that Yosef had his father in his mind the whole time. This wasn't just the once out of the blue that he saw his father. The whole time he spent at the house of Potiphar, he had a ephod, he had the picture of his father in his mind. He had the hotline, he had the easy call to his father. And now this moment of danger, this moment of temptation, he was about to give in. He could press the button and he could be connected again with his father. Nirelo to Musti Yukna Shalaviv. And this would save him. This is a son following his father, a son bringing his father with him wherever he would go. Let's turn back to Esau. Let's see the kibbadav of Esau for Russia and compare it to Yosef. The Torah tells us that right at the very beginning, the pastor told us, Ayigdulu Hana Orim, and the lads grew. Ayigdulu means they became gedolim, they became bar mitzvah, says Rashi. Up till now, till the age of 13, nobody would look into their differences. They were still children. They now became 13 years old. Now their ways parted. This one, says Rashi, their pirish lebotim, it roshes their pirish lebotim zara. Yaakovina went to his Beit HaMedrash and Esau went to Avodah Zarah. Esau seemingly now revealed his true self, but there can't be. Yitzchak Avinu wants to give him a bracha. If Esau shows himself as the Kohath, as the Rotzeach, as the Ganav, Yitzchak Avinu could not want to give him a bracha. Chazal tell us, the Meshivah Gamliel testifies, we, our family, was outstanding in Kibbud Avim. There was nobody great in Klal Yisrael than myself and my family, how we honored our father. And nevertheless, we were not a hundredth of the Madrega of Esau. Esau wore royalty when he came to his father. What does that mean, Esau came to his father with royalty? The prophet says, Kitzayed Basiv. He fed Yitzchak Avinu with his hunting. It doesn't mean he fed him once. It doesn't mean he fed him twice. It means he fed him continuously, perhaps even daily. Esau would come in and give his father a tasty food. And nevertheless, says Rashi again, the sieve shall Esau show it. He would come, he'd trap his father. How did he trick his father? Because every single day that he came into the home of Yitzchak, to the room where Yitzchak was learning, he would be a faithful son. He changed his clothes. He wore royalty. How can that be? He would have to clean himself from his grime, from his crime, from the slime that covered his body. Every day would act his pantomime. How can he do this? Do you know how many years this was for? From the age of 13, when he separated and went on his wicked way, right through to the age of 63. When Yitzchak Avinu wanted to give him the brokers, Yitzchak Avinu was 123, 60 years older than his son. For 60 years, day after day, thousands and thousands of times, Esau HaRosha came into his father. He cleansed himself from all the schmutz of the street, from the veirus that he had done. He purified himself. He came in with royalty, whether it was tops and tails, or whether it was a stranglement, Bekesha, what's a nafkamina. He came in to his father as a faithful son. Beyond human capacity to be able to do this every single day. Extraordinary is the word that can describe the kibbud avim of Esau HaRosha to his father. How could he do this? But Esau had kibbud av. He was able to do this, he's able to continuously change it. There were no showers in those days. It wasn't an easy thing to come from the field, but he still persisted and he came. Why did he do this? Why did Esau do something that's beyond really the ability of a noble person to do? He wanted to cultivate. He wanted to make his father. He wanted to carry favor with his father because he wanted the brachot. Was there any penelius in it? Was there any real kibbutz in it? Nothing at all. If we have a look, when the Torah looks into Esav HaRosha and tells us who Esav HaRosha really is, not Esav, that's the clever one that camouflages himself. When the Pasuk tells us that shortly after Yaakov wrests the brachos away from Esav, and yet Esav realizes that his 50 years of Avodah Perach has got up in smoke, he's getting nothing out of it. Now by the prophet of Vayom Esav, believe Esav says in his heart, Yikruvi mei evil avi, let the evil of my father come near. The evil, let it come near the death of my father. Let my father tabavelus. If I would kill Yaakov, let him sit on the ground. What kind of kibbutz is this? Because he never had kibbutz. It was a shell. It was a chitonis. What he did, how extraordinary it was just for himself alone. There was no kibbutz really there. As soon as there was torn away his disguise, the pneumius of Esau was Yikrim Yimeva, which child yearns for the death of his father, Rahman al Islam. But the Torah testifies, O Esau, believe Yikrim Yimeva Lavi. This is the kibbutz of Esau. And the Apostle says, when Yaakov Avinu, when Yitzchak Avinu asked Esav to go to the field, the prophet says, "Vayelech Esav asad lots of tide lehavi." And Rashi says, "Lehavi, what is this word? In loyimot yimtos tide yavi men hagezel." Esav didn't care really. Anything he would bring to his father, he would feed his father with a guzzle of food. And the Yonatan ben Israel says that in fact he even came back with dogs. He slaughtered a dog to give to his father. Rachman al Islam. This is the kibbutz of Esau. A total shell, it's a nothing. Let's continue on with Yosef. Yosef now is in Mitzrayim. He's thrown into prison, and we learn that he now is released from prison in Parshas Miketz of Vayigash, and he becomes the viceroy of Mitzrayim. He becomes the mightiest man in the world at that time. Nobody, says the Targum, could ride a horse without a license from Yosef. Nobody could wear a sword without a license for Yosef. Everybody bowed on their knees when they came before him. He amassed the world's treasures into the land of Mitzrayim. He had his finger on every power and every... He had full control. He was the world's greatest leader. And his brothers come down to Mitzrayim at long last. 22 years have elapsed, with no contact in himself and his father. And he forces his brothers to bring Binyamin down. He is desperate to retain the dream, the nevuah that he was given. And now he wants his father to come down. But eventually Yosef breaks. The prophet tells us that Yosef couldn't hold himself back in front of all those who stood around with him. He was also a player. He was also acting another role, acting the role of a viceroy, of a cruel person. And now he broke. He couldn't anymore play that act. He couldn't anymore pretend to be somebody else. But in his love for his brothers, he asked everybody to go out from the royal courtroom in Parshas Vayigash we're now doing. And the whole courtroom of Yosef is cleared. Yosef is alone with his brothers. And he says those incredible words, those fateful words, and Yosef, I am Yosef. He tears apart his disguise. I'm not a viceroy, I'm not a mitzri. I'm your beloved brother. Ha'od Abichoy, does my father still live? He cries. Pelopolos, when his pent up feelings burst forth, he breaches the floodgates of his emotions. Now pours out the true love, the devotion of a son to a father. Ha'od Abichoy, why did he say those words? Didn't he hear from his brother Yehuda? How can I echel elavi v'anen iti? The whole plea of Yehuda was that I can't go back without Binyamin. I can't kill my father. It's my whole life, my whole oxid. The next world is dependent on this. I'll fight to the end. Please let me take Benjamin. He's telling Yosef time and again, Yaakovin is still alive. And the first question Yosef says is, Ha'oiz Avichoy? The answer is yes. Because as a child of his father, now that he's Yosef, he's now beaten himself, not as a viceroy. I'm a Yosef now. His first words were, is my father still alive? A child who's told his father was in a serious accident, Lamoshel, and his father's there lying in the hospital bed, and the doctor says, don't worry, your father's alive, he's okay, he's going to recover. And there's a respirator keeping his father alive, and the child runs forward and he jumps onto the bed with father, daddy, tati, delay, no. What does he want? What does the child want? The child wants his father to respond, to reciprocate his cry. He wants his father to smile, to acknowledge that he's the father of his son. That's what the child wants. To tell him he's alive is not good enough. Daddy, smile at me. And Yosef, I am Yosef. Will my father still acknowledge me? Is he still my father? This was the plea, the cry of Yosef. He wanted that connection, and that connection meant everything in his life. This was the cry of Yosef to his father when he said to his father, "Ben Yosef, Yosef Yichor." Later, when Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, "Vayesa Yosef Mertapta Yosef harnesses his chariot," and the pasuk says he brings the entire Mitzrayim when Yosef left the palace. Thousands of people came with him, and he left the city, the entire Mitzrayim came. Yaakov Avinu was given the world's gate of cover, the entire country. Millions of people came to pay honor to Yaakov Avinu when he arrived. And there, amongst the millions of people, Yaakov alights from his carriage, and he sees his son Yosef, his beloved son Yosef, Vayera Elov, and he appears to him, Vayipal Al Tavorov. And he falls on his neck and he cries uncontrollably. He can't hold himself back. His tears burst forth. Who appears to who, says Rashi? Yosef Nira El Ovid. Yaakov Nira El Yosef. Yaakov appeared to Yosef because Yosef never kept his father away from him. And now here Yosef Nira El Ovid. Yosef appears to his father. Why does he appear to his father? Because he knows his father yearns to see his face, yearns to see his beloved son. I never thought ever I would see you again. So although Yosef is the one who falls on his father's neck, Yosef is the one whose emotions burst forth, and he hugs his father with uncontrollable tears. Yosef is the one who has no control nevertheless, in order to let his father gaze upon him. Yosef holds himself back. Vayera Lov, Yosef Nira Loviv, Azar Lov, beyond human control, he lets his father gaze, Yosef steals himself in a straitjacket of cast iron, he won't move, until his father is satisfied, I've seen my son, until his father can turn and take tears from her, and then Yosef falls upon his father's neck, Vayera Lov, this is the kibbutz of Yosef, and this is the kibbutz of Esau. And this is what the prophet tells us. Vayeshev Yaakov. Yaakov dwelt in the land and he saw the incredible might of Esav of Edom. And he said, who can overcome this? And the prophet says, Eile tells us Yaakov Yosef. Yes, Esav has got power. He was Mechabed of. But it was nothing. It was external. It was a facade. There was nothing there. Esav is compared to Kash. What does kash richly mean? Kosher means hard, tangible, something real, real estate, something there, it looks real, it's brick, mortar, it's standing. But really, if you think about it, what is kash? Kash is nothing, it's stubble. It's perhaps the most flimsy, tangible object in the world. It's there, but it's nothing really. It's cut off, it flies, and there's a little breeze into the wind. This was Esav. I'm hard, I've got everything, you've got nothing. Kash, you're stubble, you think you're something or a shell. There's nothing inside you. But Yosef is in a hover. The Gemara says at the end of the day, the Gemara says that somebody he's got his house, his Reshut HaYochid, next to Reshut HaRabin, and he's got a fire burning there, lit obviously before Shabbos. If he blows, if he wafts the flame across from Reshut HaYochid to HaRabin, there's no issa, because the flame hasn't got any mamash in it. But if the flame is gripped onto a little twig, and even if the twig, the Gemara says, is poch of mikashir, that means the twig would be carried, the twig would be blown across, there'd be no issa, no chil or Shabbos. But if a flame is gripping a twig, even though the twig is tiny, even though the flame is nothing, but the two together become the most powerful thing in the world. B'shyakov eish b'yishlis of lahova. Esau was a nothing, he was a cut off bit of stubble, whereas Yosef was the Esh and the Lahava. He built himself on his father. He was the flame that could overcome the cash. The Torah says that Esau with Kula Kader Seah was a cloak of hair. What is hair? Hair is a nothing, there's no mitzvahs in hair. He was just an externality, there's nothing more than that. Hair, what is hair? It's no power. It might look powerful, but it's nothing there at all. The word Yosef means, to add. I'm a nothing really, but I'm adding on from my father. I continue on the ways of my father. I'm the flame that's attached to the Eish. Then I'm the most powerful thing in the world. And this is what the prophet says, Deis Yaakov Eish of Yosef Lahava. The power of Yosef was the kibbutz, the pneumius kibbutz of aim that he took with him. As that power he took with him, that he could destroy the external shell of Esav HaRasha. Not only will we survive the Golus when we follow the footsteps of Yosef, but more than that, we will vanquish the Goyim. They can come with their 35s and their tanks, whatever their bombs, but if Klal Yisrael, as Ela told us, Yaakov is a Yosef, if we are the continuation of our fathers, we continue them, we carry them with us into our lives, into our future, then there's nothing that can break Klal Yisrael. The clarion call of our people as we trek across the oceans of time and as we trek across the galaxies of space as Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avichai, I am Yosef, is my father still alive?